I'm going to read this morning to begin with from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read a passage here and then we'll go back and identify one specific verse. And then I want to go from there to some other New Testament scriptures and make a rather simple but yet very direct point today. And I think perhaps the Lord would just have us examine ourselves today. Please now, when we minister a message like this, it is always very tempting to examine one another. It's very tempting to examine our wives, our husbands, our neighbors, the ones seated on the row with us. But examination of ourselves, where we ought to be, where we ought to place this, we ought to be judging ourselves rather than one another. Paul writing to the Thessalonians now in the second chapter of his first letter, these words. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome, as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now, Paul in his writing is describing here the difficulty that they had had in declaring the gospel. That in the midst of the preaching of God's word, he describes in the second verse that he did not hold back in his boldness, but rather he boldly and courageously proclaimed the word of God to them in the midst of much contention. And apparently there were difficulties there in that particular ministry, that there were those who did not like the way the gospel was being preached, did not like the preaching of the gospel at all, did not like what the gospel represented and what in fact was being declared. He said that I had many opportunities there to back off because of this contention, but yet I boldly spoke the word of God unto you. Now the fourth verse is the one that I want to zero in on today. He said that he spoke the gospel not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And then he, on down in the sixth verse, he tells us that it was not the glory of men that he was seeking. It was not the glory or the praise of the people that he was seeking. And going back to the fourth verse once again, he says, we declared the truth as not pleasing men, but pleasing God, which trieth our hearts. And as I meditated on that scripture, I became aware that one of the ways that the Lord tries our heart is examining how we respond to the people around about us and how we respond to the opinions of others. Do you know that you can see what's in a man's heart as you observe the choices he makes? And especially the choices he makes with regard to whether he will please men or whether he will please God. You can examine a man's heart by observing the decisions that he makes in this particular area. It struck me that Paul should couple this matter of differentiating between the pleasing of men on the one hand and the pleasing of God on the other, along with this matter of God trying our hearts. And I believe the connection is not coincidental, that it is possible to see into a man's heart as you observe the outward manifestation of his life and whether he lives his life and makes his choices and makes his decisions to be those which are pleasing to men as compared to those that would be pleasing to God. Now, if you'll come with me to the 15th chapter of the book of Mark, I want to show us or identify for us this morning three examples from the New Testament, one positive, two negative, that I believe will crystallize this point for us. It's a very simple point, but I believe that the Lord would have us to examine ourselves in the choices that we make and the decisions that we make. What do they say about us? Are we men pleasers, or are we, on the other hand, God pleasers? What is our inner motivation? What is the compulsion of our heart? If the Lord were to try our heart in this area, if he were to try your heart, if he were to try my heart, what would be revealed and what would the judgment be? Day after day after day, I think as you think on this subject, you will find that day after day, our hearts are being tried and we are being identified by this very thing. Do we prefer the approval of men, or do we rather choose to please God? Mark's Gospel, the 15th chapter, and let's begin here, please, in the 6th verse. Now at that feast, he, that is Pilate, released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, who lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? What was his name? Jesus. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Why did Pilate make the choice that he made? It is obvious that he could find no evil in this man, Jesus. John's Gospel records the words of Pilate, I find no fault in this man. Three times Pilate declared that Jesus had no apparent fault in him, and that he had done nothing worthy, not only of crucifixion, but he had done nothing worthy to be placed in prison or in bonds. Here he asks the Jews, why should we crucify him? What evil hath he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him, crucify him, and crucify him. And Pilate, the key phrase here in verse 15 is, willing to content the people. Jesus was sent to the cross because a man was concerned more about pleasing people than he was about pleasing God. His decision was made in this event not on the basis of the facts, not on the basis of the truth, not even on the basis of how he really felt, but his decision was based upon the fact that he could not stand to oppose people. He could not stand to make a decision that would be unpopular. He could not stand to have people against him. And he could not stand to do something that the people disapproved of. And so rather than please God, he chose to please the people. And in so doing, he released a murderer and he killed the Son of Almighty God, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God. What was in Pilate's heart? Pilate was a man pleaser and not a God pleaser. His decision was made on the basis to content the people. Have you compromised your Christian testimony because you didn't want to offend your friends? Have you gone against what you know is right in spite of all of the evidence simply because you did not want to incur the wrath of another human being or several human beings? Have you violated your conscience and the Word of God? Have you denied the God who bought you simply because you were willing to content the people and because you didn't want to create a problem? Acts chapter 12 is another example, another man. There are many such examples through the Scriptures, New Testament and Old Testament, both. I've just chosen a couple in order to make the point. Acts chapter 12 is a story about a man named Herod, who was the king. Reading the first few verses, watch now for the signal. Watch to see what is in this man Herod's heart, based on the choices that he makes, the decisions that he makes, and what becomes his primary motivation. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, or more correctly, the Greek word there is more correctly Passover, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Why did Herod arrest Peter? Because in verse 3, the record is given, because he saw that it pleased the Jews. He took a man of God, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man who was guilty only of preaching the good news that Jesus could save a man from his sins, a man who walked down the streets of Jerusalem and there was so much of the glory of God's power in him and on him that they would bring the sick and the lame and the demon-possessed and lay them in the street so that the shadow of this man Peter falling upon them as he walked down the street and the demons would flee from them and the diseases would be healed and people, scores, multitudes of people were healed, set free and blessed. But Herod, the king, desired to please the Jews. Because he saw that it would please them, he took a good man and put him in jail, and were it not for the power of God, if you'll read the balance of this chapter, you'll see that God Almighty sent angels to break the bars open and to take Peter out in the middle of the night. He also would have lost his head the same as James had. Why? Because he'd done something wrong? No. Because Herod was a man pleaser. Because he saw that this would please the people. And he had no concern about pleasing God. Acts chapter 24 is another such example. I'd forgotten that I had written this one down. Acts 24, rather, is the story of Festus. This man's name is Porcius Festus. Could any good come from a man with such a name? The record is given here that Paul is in prison. He's been there for some time. Festus is a new governor who has come into Felix's governorship. We're reading just the 27th verse. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Here is a man who was guilty of nothing except preaching the gospel of the kingdom, But because there were men who were opposed to his ministry, this man Felix, prior to the change in governorship, in order to please the Jews, left Paul in prison. Example after example after example of men who have demonstrated the content of their heart by the choices and the decisions that they have made, basing their decision upon the motivation of that which will bring them the most acceptance in the hearts and the minds and the lives of other people. In John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, the 43rd verse, Jesus talked about people like that. Even people who were part of the Christian, actually not part of the Christian church at that time, but I could say followers of him. We would understand that, you see, if it were only the Pilates and the Felixes and the Festuses and the Herods and those who were absolutely wicked in their life. But the same thing can contaminate the church of Jesus Christ, and it can affect true believers. John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verse number 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here were men who had put their trust and their confidence in the salvation that Jesus came to purchase and declare, but they were unwilling, because of their desire to be accepted of men, they were unwilling to declare their position openly. Turn with me to the book of Galatians and let's get a refreshing change. Galatians chapter 1, and reading, I think one verse is probably adequate here to make the point. From the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1, reading the 10th verse. This now is a powerful verse of Scripture. I want you to listen to it very carefully. It is deeply meaningful and terribly important for every believer. The testimony of Paul to the churches at Galatia. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, let me read that last part again. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Would you read that with me, please? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, here's a man whose heart was tried time after time after time. We don't have the time this morning to examine from the book of the Acts, nor from his letters, the number of times that his heart was tried. But time after time after time, the record is clear. Paul always chose the way of God. When nobody else understood what he was doing, when nobody else agreed with what he was doing, when there was nobody in his present company that would give him any comfort in his decisions, he made his decisions on the basis of the mind of Christ without any regard to the desire for pleasing men. Therefore, Paul's testimony was never compromised. Paul's ministry was never fruitless. In spite of the fact that when he came to Thessalonica, there was contention there. He said, I did not use covetousness. I did not desire the glory of men. I preached the gospel as Jesus Christ had given it to me in spite of that. My desire, he says, is not to please men, but to please God. It is the compulsion that motivates me from within. On another occasion, he said, woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. If I don't do this, woe unto me. Now, it wasn't that this man didn't care about men. It wasn't that he didn't care about the opinions of men. For he wrote to the Romans and he said, I have become like every man, in order to win some. He was sensitive and he was interested and he was concerned in the opinions of others. But when the opinions of others conflicted with the will of God, there was absolutely no contest. There was absolutely no question. For he recognized, and so must you, and so must I, so must each of us as individual believers recognize that where pleasing men or the desires of men and pleasing God or the desires of God are in conflict, for a Christian, there is no choice to make. That's the only thing we can do is to choose God's way and let the chips fall. Because Paul made this very definite statement. It's so important that we see this. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You cannot do both, he said. You must go one way or the other. For to turn in one direction, you cannot still face the other. You are faced in one direction. To turn this way, you must turn your back on the other one. And his compulsion, his driving motivation, the thing that made this man tick, was that he cared not to show the Jews a pleasure. He cared not to content the people. He cared only to do the will of God. And therefore, the praise of men was not his motivation, but rather the knowledge and the assurance and the confidence that what he was doing was according to the will of Almighty God. Now, beloved, you are making those kinds of choices daily, aren't you? We all are. If you're not sure you are, it's simply because you don't recognize them. Those choices are being made every day. Think on what we've said this morning. Think on the scriptures that we've shared. And remember that you cannot be all things to all people, and that the responsibility we have as Christians is to be God pleasers first, foremost, and forever. Let us pray.